All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Glass in the Morning radio program. The 17th day of May, Tuesday, 2016. There's Keith Klein.
Good morning.
The rain just keeps falling. It feels more like March than May here in Bloomington. But we're tough. We can handle this. And we're not going to get much warmer today. 49 downtown on our way to 59. Rain throughout the morning, maybe in the afternoon as well. 45 the overnight low. 70 and partly cloudy on Wednesday sounds better because there's only a 10% chance of rain. 71 sunshine on Thursday. There we go. That seems a bit more spring-like. But when the average high temperature is 75 and 53, we've been chasing it for the last couple of weeks, and we continue to chase it this week as well. The weekend, trying to get into the 70s. Looks like Sunday will be the best day of the three. 75 and sunshine. Updated forecast, live radar. You can find it all at WGCLradio.com. Our very busy program for you on a Tuesday continues as we check in Washington, D.C. with United States Senator from the great state of Indiana. It's Dan Coats. Senator Coats, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning. What happened to spring?
Well, when it's 80 degrees in March every other day, it seems like we got an early start from the groundhog, and now we're backpedaling. But as you've known from being through Indiana summers before, if it's going to be below average in July and August, I don't think any of us are going to complain.
No, we won't. But we missed a lot of nice days in spring. I think it'll turn to summer and be summer for the rest of the time.
And we're hoping that starts this weekend. We want to warm some things up. We want to make sure the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 goes without a hitch here in a couple Sundays as well. But you've been a very busy man recently. And Fox News right there at the top of the hour, we heard the story about the Obama deal with Iran and how this has been portrayed in the media. And we're selling a bill of goods. This has been not one of his finer moments. Give us an update on how this has been created and portrayed in the media with the Iran deal.
Well, from the very beginning on this Iran deal, there was an awful lot of evidence to indicate Iran would not be a fair player in this negotiation. And there was a lot of suspicion about whether or not the administration was simply caving to all kinds of issues here that should have been part of that deal, if there was going to be a deal, but were conceded by the administration, I think, because they so desperately wanted to get this done as part of the president's legacy. But we had several closed session meetings, classified. We had several open meetings where we discussed all these. We raised these questions with the administration, and they always had an answer coming back that didn't seem to make sense. In the end, they prevailed. I think it's a bad agreement. I think Donald Trump is right, maybe one of the worst agreements ever negotiated. And I think the problem here is that the decision was made that we're going to negotiate it and have a deal. And whatever we need to concede in order to get that deal, we just don't want to walk away from the table. The president wanted this as his legacy. I think it's dangerous for America. It's dangerous for the world. Iran is now in pursuit of nuclear weapons capability with our sanctions. Is the time been delayed? Yes. But what was said to be unaffordable by four previous presidents, two Democrats and two Republicans, now, unthinkable, unacceptable, I think was the word they used, now is in on a path to Iran having that nuclear capability. It's going to destabilize the already destabilized Middle East. It's a threat to world order. And I think it's just now becoming apparent that whatever our suspicions were confirmed by this latest news.
Why did President Obama feel this to be such a grand part of his legacy if the deal, as you just mentioned, doesn't seem to be one that's beneficial to anything that's happening on our side of the coin?
Well, we scratch our heads about that question, whether the president is doing this knowing that the facts don't line up in terms of what the real situation is in the Middle East and what the reality of what we're dealing with in the world and the kind of regime that we're dealing with Iran. Instead, he seems to want to be imposing on us in any number of ways his vision of what he thinks the world should look like. And unfortunately, not a lot of people share that, and particularly people who want to do bad things and see power as the ultimate goal and not kind of cooperative effort that the president would like to have. And we've seen him go around Europe and go to Russia and go everywhere else and say, apologize for America, for taking strong leadership in the world that, frankly, provided us with an umbrella of peace, and instead basically saying, let's all kind of work together, trust each other, and everything will work out all right. All we have to do is turn on the news in the morning, listen to your radio show about what's happening in the Middle East, about what's happening with terrorism, what's happening around the world. There's a vacuum here without good, moral, strong leadership by the United States, and a lot of bad guys are taking advantage of it. A lot of people are dying.
United States Senator from Indiana, Dan Coats, joins us this morning. Keith Kline is here with us as well.
Senator, we have this situation with the Supreme Court justice and a vacancy, and yesterday a decision came down that essentially the Supreme Court sent a decision back to lower courts because they're tied. What is going to happen with the Supreme Court justice vacancy, and how do you see this playing out?
Well, Republicans have made a strong statement essentially saying they think the people ought to have a say in who our next Supreme Court justice is, and that say should be at the ballot box in November. This is a precedent that was set before by the Democrats. Joe Biden has been quoted repeatedly here. When he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee as a senator, he said we shouldn't be nominating in a toxic political environment a Supreme Court justice because we're talking about somebody who's going to be serving decades and will influence the direction of America through the influence of the court. And that ought to be something that's taken out of contentious politics and done in a measured way. And so what Republicans have essentially said is let's wait till the election and then let's take this up. We'll probably be in a lame duck session shortly after the election. We will know what the people what direction the people want us to go on this, and we'll take up that vote. That's what the Democrats have done in the past. We thought that was wise counsel. In fact, I even talked personally with the vice president saying, Joe, I mean, we served together. We talked to each other as Dan and Joe, not Senator and Mr. Vice President. I said, Joe, look, I'm just trying to follow the wise counsel and advice that you provided years ago when you were chairman of the committee. I agree with that. And he said, well, Dan, you got me there. I think we're pretty locked into this now. Republicans have not moved on this. Obviously, the Democrats like to make this a political issue that we're not doing our job. Actually, I think we are doing our job because the Constitution says the Senate is to advise and consent, and there is not consent. And our advice is to do what the Democrats proposed years ago. And take this out of a very toxic, very contentious election process.
Do you believe going forward that the Supreme Court will ever fall into term limits, or is it just leave well enough alone and let history make those decisions?
Well, when I first ran for Congress, it's a while ago, one of my first bills was to impose term limits on the Congress and on the Supreme Court. Put a 15-year term in for Supreme Court justices. Obviously, that bill did not pass. I adhered to that, which is why I stepped down in 1998, never thinking I was going to be coming back. But I had reached the limit of the terms that I had proposed, and I thought I should live up to that, even if it wasn't put into law. So, yes, I come down on the side of the fact that I think it would be better if we had some type of a limit on Supreme Court tenure. 15 years is a significant amount of time for them to serve, but I think turnover is good in keeping with the changes that happen throughout society. Obviously, the Constitution, from my perspective, has to be honored in all of that. It's not an evolving, living will. It is something that is our founding fathers put in place, and it served their country very well. But I don't think that means that you have to appoint someone for life.
We're speaking with Senator Dan Coats of Indiana. And Senator Coats, Hoosiers are pretty independent. They do not particularly like Washington, D.C., let alone the president telling them what they need to do in their schools. And yesterday, not yesterday, but a couple of days ago, the president announced how bathrooms were to be used in schools. And where do you stand on that? And what do you think is the honorable solution to all of this?
Well, I was almost blown away by the president's statement on that. It's far exceeding his authority. This is something that ought to be left to states, it ought to be left to school boards, it ought to be left to parent-teachers associations. And look, if you step back from all the rhetoric that's been flowing around here and use common sense, I mean, for heaven's sake, I mean, what is the president trying to push here? It's almost like this is in your face. I don't like what has happened so far. My Obamacare Act is coming down. What's my legacy going to be? Why does he go to something like this? He knows it's going to be contentious. Here's a president who said, I'll be the great uniter. He's been the great divider. He's divided up cultures. He's divided up race. He's divided up, he's pitted people against each other. And I don't think you could come up with anything more outrageous than what the president did here in terms of telling schools, telling parents, their young kids, some of them at critical ages in terms of their maturation. Look, it's fine. Whatever restroom you want to pick, whatever gender you want to say you are that particular day, whoever you want to take a shower with, it's no big deal. They can all be worked out. But we're threatening you with this letter saying, I better be careful because if you don't go forward with this, we might not be able to send you any kind of federal money. That's why we should not be leaning on the federal government to fund our schools. It ought to be up to the people who send their kids to the schools as to what the rules ought to be. And the president has way taken over the line this particular step. And I don't know for what reason he's doing it except just to say, in your face, America, this is what I think, and I'm going to push this. And it's going to become a huge issue, and it'll just divide people even more than they're already divided.
Our guest is United States Senator Dan Coats from the great state of Indiana. And at the end of this year, you are retiring. You're putting your feet up. That's going to be it. Even if we've seen you on some vice presidential mention lists, is that anything you've given any considerable thought to?
Well, it's not whether I've given considerable thought. It's whether anybody else, particularly Donald Trump, has given considerable thought.
Does that fit into your retirement? Does that fit into your retirement plans?
No, it's not in my retirement plan. I'm not going to put my feet up, but I never thought I would be working at staying in government, and particularly never occurred to me that someone would be looking at me for vice president. Frankly, a lot of names get thrown around. I am not taking this seriously. I sort of kind of jokingly said back my plans for 2017 are to spend more time in Wrigley Field.
There you go.
Which seems to be a better job or a better task for my future than staying in government. I put a lot of years in, and I'm ready for a change. I think I'll be engaged in a whole number of things, including IU basketball, by the way.
Very nice.
I'm not taking this seriously. Nobody's vetting me for this job that I'm aware of. But it's nice to have people say nice things about you. I'm not sure whether the vice presidency, the way politics is going on right now, is a desirable deal or not.